Okay, so today I'm here with Gloria Drake, my grandmother, and I am Maddie Hamilton. So did you move a lot as a kid?
No.
So where did you live?
Born in Virginia, and then when I was about 4 years old, we moved to Miami, Florida.
Oh, okay.
So then we lived there until after I was 16.
Okay, so what did you like better?
Oh, I love Miami because of the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the beach. So, you were an only child.
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
I wanted brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. but my parents couldn't have any more children, just me. Mm-hmm. And I was always looking for a brother or a sister.
Mm-hmm. So what were you like as a child?
Oh, I loved books, mm-hmm. and I loved make-believe. I liked to do, with my dolls, do, puppet shows and tell stories, and just loved fantasy, loved movies and mm-hmm. stories and people.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So how was your relationship with your parents?
Great. My parents were so good to me. Mother was very, very strict,
mm-hmm.
and my dad was not. He was just a sweetheart. He was, in fact, I'd always go to him if I needed to ask for something,
uh-huh.
and then usually end up having to go to my mother because he'd say, "You need to talk to your mother about that." But
yeah.
they were just great parents. They very informative, very interesting. They had lots of interesting friends, and
that's good.
They were wonderful parents.
That's good. So, did you want to move away when you were older, when you were an adult, or did you want to stay?
No, I wanted to stay near my parents.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you meet Grandpa?
Well. My aunt, who lived across the street from us, my mother's sister, had a boarding house. She had a big 25-room house, and she turned it into a boarding house, and she rented out rooms to people, but long-term. Some of the gentlemen that stayed there, she never rented to any women, just men. Some of the men that stayed there had been there for years,
mm-hmm.
and she fixed meals, and people could come in and have dinner there as long as they let her know ahead of time that they would be there for dinner, and they would pay to eat dinner, plus the people that lived there. So she had a huge kitchen with three huge stoves and dining room table that sat 20 people, and then another dining area and another room that would seat 12, so she could accommodate a few people for mm-hmm. meals.
Yeah. And so Grandpa was there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the point.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yes, he was there. He was staying there because he was there managing a political campaign.
Oh, yeah.
And so he stayed. He found out about my aunt's home, that she would take a boarder there, so mm-hmm. he stayed there, because that way he didn't have to fix any food or anything,
yeah.
take care of anything, because all the housekeeping was done, and so I went up there for dinner, which my parents used to go help her with dinner, because it was a big undertaking. They used to go and help, put the food on, help cook the food, go to the store.
Yeah.
So I had gone up there to eat dinner with them, and your grandfather was there.
Oh.
And that's how I met him.
Wow. So where was this boarding house?
In Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh. So did you like Roanoke?
Yeah, I did. I went to high school there. I liked it. And also went to beauty school there.
Oh, wow. So what made you want to do that?
I had always loved working with hair.
Mm-hmm.
And doing, and I graduated from beauty school and went to work as a hairdresser and really enjoyed it. And I worked as a hairdresser until I married your grandfather. And then we moved, his political campaign was over there, which they won. Then we moved to Alabama, so, and I did do some hairdressing after I got to Alabama, after we got married.
Okay. That's good. So, what did you think when you found out you were pregnant with Aunt Anna?
Oh, I was so happy. I was delighted because my mother had some problems getting pregnant with miscarriages and things mm-hmm. before I was born. They didn't think they'd ever have any children. They were married 15 years before I was born. Mm-hmm. And my mother and dad were both 42 years old when I was born, which back then was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I was pregnant with Anna, I was 25 years old. And I didn't know if I could have any children.
Yeah.
You know, because my doctor had told me that I could have, you know, problems that my mother had.
Yeah.
So I was thrilled. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have been happier.
Yeah, and then you had a big family, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So what was it like having so many kids?
You know, It was wonderful because I'd been an only child, mm-hmm. so I really liked having all my children. I had Anna, and then Cynthia a year later, and then a year later I had John. So I had three children, one right after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, my mother did not live near me, but she came and helped me from time to time with the kids. And I just loved having the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exciting. So what was mom like as a kid?
Well,
okay, so how was Austin different from Tennessee?
Oh, big change again. Mm-hmm. Where Tennessee is so country and so laid back and so homespun and a relaxed lifestyle like you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Austin's livelier, more interesting. There's just so much to do here, so many art forms to enjoy, lots of museums, just lots of interesting social life. Made lots of mm-hmm. friends here, which I've really enjoyed living here. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I love Austin. And, yeah, Tennessee is still really different when we go back there and visit, for sure. So, I guess, So, can you just tell me a little about, like, more about having all the kids and, like, the big family and everything?
Well, we drew lots of attention. because anytime we went to a restaurant or anything, you know, I'd walk in with all these children, which were really very well-behaved children, mm-hmm. and all so beautiful. So people naturally turn around and look and comment. And I had friends who said to me, well, why did you have so many children? And I said, well, I didn't have to have so many children. I wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I had them, and I'm still enjoying them.
Yeah.
And now I get to enjoy grandchildren, mm-hmm. too. So that's, you know, mm-hmm. 11-hour drive, so a long drive.
Yeah.
So anyway, having the TV was a great, great thing.
Yeah,
the kids
yeah.
could watch the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that sounds really fun. And so what about being a pharmacist?
Well, I'd had several jobs. I had gone back to school and gotten my degree in accounting, mm-hmm. and had gone to work as an accountant for the University of Tennessee. And the only thing about an accounting job, and I really love accounting, mm-hmm. is you don't have that much contact with other people. I'm a very social person. I like meeting people and talking to them.
Yeah.
Didn't have any of that, so that lasted about 8 years.
Wow.
And then I decided, well, for one thing, my job at the University of Tennessee in the geology department, they cut the funding for my position, so I had to find another job. And I did. And I got the option, because my job was, you know, position was terminated, I got to go back to school. So I went back to school, and I had always been interested in medicine and in a hospital,
mm-hmm.
and then and being in a pharmacy, you meet people, you have to talk to them, and you know, it's just very, very different from sitting behind a desk and looking at a computer all the time.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm interested in all that medical stuff, so.
Yes, and it's good because you feel like that you're helping people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're a liaison between the pharmacy and the doctor and the insurance company. Like you have to have a three-way call because a lot of times the insurance company doesn't want to pay for what the doctor has prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you get all three factors on the phone, and a lot of times you can get either the insurance company to go ahead and approve it, or you can get the doctor to change it to a medicine of the same kind that the insurance company will cover.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're helping people, not just leaving them hanging out there to dry and not be able to get their medicine, especially some people, you know, have very serious conditions. They have heart conditions. They have things wrong with them that only the medicine will help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So was that your most recent job?
Well, I found out that I was moving to Austin. So I had, you know, you can't just leave a pharmaceutical position open.
Yeah.
So I gave them my notice, and then I still needed a job until it was time for my house to be ready in Texas. So I went to work for a temporary agency, and the job that I had that I liked the most was working for Talbot's, and I worked there. An international center is just happens to be in Tennessee. So they hired me, and I went to work there, and I had my own cubicle, my own ergonomically set up there so that I could be your personal shopper. And we had a complete store set up in the building so that we could go and look and match stuff up and help people select stuff, match stuff up from the catalog and help them. One of the best days I had was this lady from Washington, D.C., that her husband was an ambassador. And they would go back there in D.C. for the, you know, the a certain number of months at a time. I forgot what country they were from, but I think it was someplace like one of the South American countries. Anyway, so they would go back there to D.C., but she would have to have clothes. So she loved Talbot's clothes, and the fact that she could get a personal shopper to help her pick everything out. So I picked out her entire fall wardrobe, even her formal clothes. And the and this, you know, it's been, I've been here 15 years, so it's been a while back. I picked out her whole wardrobe, shoes, everything. And it came to $25,000 for the fall season.
Wow.
They were real pleased with me and offered me a permanent job, which I knew I was coming to Texas, so I couldn't take it. But I love that job.
Yeah, that was a fun job.
I wasn't just stuck behind a computer because I could go to the showroom, you know, and pick out, actually pick out clothes, match things up. And I loved it.
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
It was.
So, do you have any things you want to tell me that you haven't? Like, any other things about your life or anything?
Well, I'll tell you, and I see some of these, qualities in you. And not that that's a bad thing. You have all these good qualities. But at times I see that I see you and I think, oh, Maddie's so much like me. She thinks that she understands things so much better than her mother does. And so she will, like, say, well, this is the way it is. Or, you know, and I said, no, I did that with my mom. And then as I got older, I looked back and I thought, well, she really understood that better than I did. But, I don't know. I guess one of the main things I think is, you know,
stay active in your church, stay close to the Lord,
yeah,
because He walks with you every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I see so many special things in you, and so much, I see so much love surrounding you, and you're just, I was so lucky to be in my family, and, you know, still am, but mm-hmm. when I was your age, I was so lucky to have such wonderful parents and have a wonderful family around me. Aunts and uncles and cousins and all
yeah.
cousins that were like brothers and sisters, and mm-hmm. so that was good, and I see so much goodness around you, and I see such leadership qualities in you, and with me, I had leadership qualities, but it was so funny because I didn't realize it. I didn't
mm-hmm.
Look behind me enough to know that people were following me.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I think you need to be aware of. I think you are, though, that people look up to you and see you as an example of what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I see all good things with you. I try to, as you come across some things that you talk to me about, I try to relate that to my life, too, so maybe I can, you know, give you some good advice, and, you know, hope that you take it with the spirit that is given, because I just love you so much. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, and I love you, too. So, was church always a big part of your life?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. My parents started me in church when I was a little kid. And my parents were always involved in church. In fact, when we lived in Miami, Florida, my parents were involved in starting the Miami Springs Baptist Church, which is now a big church. When they were helping, my dad and the pastor were very, very good friends. And so he insisted on my dad helping with a lot of the foundation of the church and with advice and things like that. So that was good. And we started out in a movie theater. And now
wow.
that's a very, very big church in Florida, in Miami Springs.
Wow. Well, I love listening to you sing in church.
Oh, well, thank you. I really love that. I
mm-hmm.
love it.
Yeah, so you've met a lot of people through that, right?
Oh, yes, and my very best friend, Nan, and Doc, her husband, my such close friends, that's how I met them. And now that my mother passed away in 92, which has mm-hmm. you know, been a while, and so Nan always thinks of herself as my second mother.
Aww.
And she's so much like my mother. She's so much fun. My mother had a wonderful sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nan always gives me good advice. And if I need help or I need to talk to somebody, I can always call her. And she always has the right answer and always has an uplifting part of herself that she gives to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, from what mom's told me about your mom, that does sound a lot like her.
Oh, my mother was such a cut-up. You would have had so much. And my friends just adored her. That when I would be at work and mother would be at my house, they would come by my house just to have coffee with her or take her shopping or go to the movies with her. And they just loved being around her. She was just a joy. She was. Mm-hmm. I miss her.
Yeah, I wish I could have met her.
You would have loved her.
Yeah. So, what's it like being a grandmother?
Oh, it's terrific. You know, I know some people don't look forward to being a grandparent, especially women, but because I have met people that I worked with that, you know, I don't want to be a grandmother. But that's not me. I've always thought how wonderful it would be to have grandchildren. And mm-hmm. and it's so much fun to see how much you're like your mother.
Yeah.
It's like having your you know, when you were born, it was like having your mother all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey's baby, JoJo, She is so much like her mother. It's like having her all over again because she was such a good baby.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to have Annie. Liz adopted her, and she thought that she and Jerry thought they would never have any children.
Yeah.
And she has just been the light of their life.
I know.
And mine too. And she's just now, because she lives in Tennessee, and of course I live here. I got a good feeling when I was there this last time. We went out to dinner, and here she came, and she just ran and jumped in my arms and gave me a big hug. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's so sweet. She's finally, you know, she can relate to me, and she loves me and can show me.
Yeah.
Because she's, 18 months now? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I love having all the cousins a lot.
They're so sweet.
And Annie and JoJo are going to be so close.
I know. They crack me up. They're so close to each other.
Well, I think we are towards the end of the time. So is there any other advice you want to give me or anything like that?
Well, you have such a good head on your shoulders, Maddie. And you have the right value system. You know what you want. And you're so good to people. And I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of all that you do, which is considerable. You do a lot of things. And I think that's great. And you're so good to your friends. And they all adore you because they see in you that goodness of light that shines through you and their kindness and consideration. And I think that's important, very important.
Thank you. Well, thank you for doing. Okay, so a few more questions.
Okay.
So you lived in Alabama, right?
Yep.
And did you like it there?
Well, yes and no. The no part is we were there during the big civil rights problems in Alabama. I mean, the really severe ones were going on. So there was an edge of fear with people, and then people were not as friendly as they could have been. I mean, all people, not just black people, but black people and white people were edgy. And they were very aware of what was going on with the civil rights movement. And it was pretty brutal in Birmingham where we were.
Yeah.
Birmingham is a beautiful place, but when unrest is going on, as with any place, it makes it not as enjoyable.
Yeah. And Grandpa was working with the civil rights movement, right?
He was actually, it's strange, he was working on a political campaign, a gubernatorial campaign. So he, you know, he was somewhat involved with the civil rights thing. He did some things that were very beneficial to the civil rights movement, and one of them was opening a food stamp office that they had not had before, so people could come and get food stamps and get food. And of course, it wasn't just for black people, it was for black people, for white people as well. And he also did some work with the police department, which they, you know, was so much unrest that people were not happy with the police. So he did some public relations for the police department and helping them start a police athletic league for the kids. Just did some things to promote the police as being friendly to people.
Well, that's good. So, well, that's crazy that you lived there then.
I know. My mother was worried about me.
Who did you have then? Like, when was that?
I didn't have any children yet. This is before Anna was born. So.
Okay.
It was 1965.
Oh, okay. And then mom was born in Connecticut, right?
Right.
So how long were you there?
in Connecticut? Not nearly long enough, because we lived in Storrs, Connecticut, which is where the University of Connecticut is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous place to live, and very, very nice people. I loved where we lived. We had a beautiful condominium, three-story condominium, and it was spaced out through the woods. There were like units of four, and it was on a creek. We had a pool. We just had every kind of nice thing you could think of. So we lived there. We moved there when Anna was like 3 or 4 months old. And we lived there till after Cynthia was born.
Okay.
So we lived there, you know, not, like I said, not long enough. But then David's job had changed, and which he had been working in Hartford. So it changed to New York, which necessitated us to move to, it's too expensive to live in New York. So we lived in New Jersey, and he commuted to New York all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked Connecticut when we went there. It sounds a lot like...
Oh, yeah. It was so nice. And we had the nicest neighbors, and just a, you know, good place to live.
Yeah. So, and can you tell me about college, like, that time?
Well, for me, well, I had a full ride, a full scholarship. That I was a journalism, was very much in a part of my life, and in my high school, and I was on the school newspaper staff, editorial. I was editor of the editorial page, and worked some with the advertising for the paper, and then I worked with the. With the local newspaper writing what was called and I started it. It was called a Teen Talk page, which I would pick a subject that was of interest to students and write a column that would appear on Saturdays. And it was also entail I would answer some letters that were written to the Teen Talk page. I would answer some questions and stuff that were, and put those in part of the column. Did that for a while. Anyway, I was very involved with my journalism teacher, Mrs. Staten. So unbeknownst to me, she applied for a couple scholarships for me, and then when I was getting ready to graduate, because I had been with her for 4 years, when I got ready to graduate, she said, "Oh, I have such a surprise for you. You have been granted a scholarship to any college in the United States that you want to go to."
Wow.
And so I was so stupid at the time, and I told her, I said, I don't want to go to college right now, which she said, you know, and time's coming up, you'll want to go to college, but, you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So I did end up going to three different colleges, but like for two-year programs. I'm a certified environmental technologist through Roane State College in Tennessee, and of course I've got my degree in accounting when I worked at UT, and then I've got my certified pharmacy technology thing that I got at Mississippi State, which is also in Tennessee. So it's like she said, I should have just gone on then, but foolishly didn't. And I did go to beauty school, though, right out of high school.
Mm-hmm. So you just didn't want to go to college then?
Well, I didn't. And I think, you know, maybe it would have been a mistake, but I went to beauty school for 2 years and loved it. And then, you know, when I went to work as a hairdresser, I made really good money, and I loved doing it. So it wasn't a total mistake.
Yeah, well, you're very good at doing my hair, so.
Oh, well, thank you.
So I'm glad that you did that. So.
You know what I'm saying? What was the one where I said
okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So, would you say I'm... Would you say me, Gracie, or Ellie is most like Mom when she was a kid?
Oh, you are.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, I see, you know, a lot of Gracie, your mother, liked to be to herself.
Mm-hmm.
She liked to read and study and do a lot of things, you know, independent of the other kids. And I see a lot of that in Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gracie likes to get to herself and do, you know, she likes to read. She likes to do things just herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I see your mother in that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I used to worry that she wasn't social enough. But, of course, her older sister was a social butterfly. And you're like that.
Yeah.
You are the social butterfly, for sure. She was always had friends around. She was always doing everything with her friends, having them over, you know, just lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
But Gracie doesn't, you know, she's social too, but not to that extent.
Yeah. Like Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.